No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Well, it's 8:45. I haven't had dinner. I haven't eaten in about 9 hours. That Jets game was nothing to write home about. My Kentucky Wildcats lost as a number 3 seed 2 years after losing as a number 2 seed. So he hasn't come out very often this season. But let me tell you, folks, you're in for hangry, angry Drew tonight on the Illegal Curve post-game show. So allow me just to get this underway. Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us tonight live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. I'm drinking heavily. I'm bitter. I'm angry. This is not going to be for lighthearted, fun, happy Drew.
Wait, whenever you ever those things?
I think after Tuesday's game, I generally speaking was that. But okay. You combine everything that's happened tonight, particularly the fact I haven't had dinner, and it's going to be much more of a therapy session and a letting the rage out session for yours truly. So I hope you're all going to be there with me to support me. That's what
I suspect, Drew, that Jets fans have some rage built up after watching their team get thoroughly handled by the New Jersey Devils. So
yes,
they may be right there. You might not be feeling that rage towards the Jets result, but they can empathize with the general sentiment, I would suspect, mm-hmm. based on the overall effort they watched from, you know, a Winnipeg Jets team that went toe to toe with the New York Rangers on Tuesday.
Yes.
And looked like they didn't have any toes today in New Jersey against the Devils. And it's amazing. You know, I tweeted out as a joke from the IC account. I said 0-0 periods are sometimes very entertaining. Like that first period in New York, that was a particularly entertaining 0-0 hockey game. This was anything but entertaining in the first. And that theme continued, especially from a Jets perspective, except with the exception, I should say, of one highlight reel play by Nikolaj Ehlers. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it was not a game to write home about. It was nothing that the Jets are going to be proud of. And even Nikolaj Ehlers himself, you know, credit to him when he was asked about his highlight reel goal in the second intermission chit-chat with Dan. I'm buddies with Charles Barkley.
I believe he's Robertson. Actually changed his last name. It's now Dan Barkley is, I believe, what he's going by, not Dan Robertson anymore.
I'm not going to lie. I did text Dan yesterday when I saw him tweet those pictures because I was rather jealous. I said, I would probably never fanboy over, you know, an athlete.
Sir Charles.
Other than maybe Sir Charles. So pretty jealous of Dan Robertson there. But yeah. And then anyways, so, you know, I suspect, like I said, Jets fans are probably not very happy because of the effort they saw their team perform on Tuesday with and respond in kind today.
Well, you know, you knew it was going to be hard to match the emotion of the Tuesday game. There was no question about that, you know, to start the game, it wasn't going to have that same pace. It wasn't going to have that same feeling. As Tuesday's game, because that was, you know, sort of a headline game. The question was, were the Jets going to be able to find that? Were they going to be able to sort of overcome the natural, let's say, haggardness, which probably isn't an official word, but don't mm-hmm. even call me out on it tonight, folks. You already saw me angry and bitter, so we're going to keep it nice and up. And by the way, for you in the chat, I will block you. I am vengeful tonight. Wow. So don't even start.
Well, you can't really, Drew, but you can only block from your own accord.
Maybe I'm not going to block, but I'm going to take a list like Billy Madison style. Yeah. I'm going to have an enemies list. Like Richard That's Nixon fair. Had an enemies list. That's what I'm going to have tonight. If you people get on my bad side, that's the kind of mood I'm in right now.
You people, huh, Drew?
Yes. That's exactly what it is. It's going to be it, you know. So the question was: Are the Jets going to be able to find that second gear? Are they going to be able to find that part of the game that was going to be difficult to capture in the course of the start of the game? And the answer was no. And New Jersey, you know, look, how many times this year have we said that the Jets have lost the game because of special teams? And it's been many times. It's been once, and it hasn't been necessarily that recently. I don't think we've had a game like this where we say special teams was the difference.
Right.
Probably in maybe 6 weeks, maybe a couple months. But tonight, I mean, it's that simple. You know, the only goal the Devils score at 5-on-5 isn't really even strength. It's, you know, technically, you know, it's into the empty net. So it's sort of a bizarre even strength goal. They don't score anything 5-on-5. They get the 3 power play goals. The Jets go 0-for-4 on their special teams. But frankly, the Jets didn't deserve tonight's game. I mean, you only muster 19 shots against New Jersey. That, you know, that's not good enough. That's not sufficient.
It was like, Drew, it was like 33-16. And I think it was like, I when I made that observation, 13 minutes had transpired, not in game time, but in real time between that tweet and the next Jets shot. Now, there are 3,000 whistles in this game, so perhaps that isn't as significant as it would have been, but it's not a good sign, obviously.
No, it's not a good sign at all. So, I mean, that, you know, this wasn't an entertaining hockey game. This wasn't a particularly pleasant hockey game to watch, particularly after Tuesday's game. It's not the end of the world. It's not the sky is falling because the Jets are still where the Jets are. Now, you don't want to lose opportunities. This was an opportunity to jump ahead of both Dallas and Colorado, who are off tonight. So it's certainly a missed opportunity for the Winnipeg Jets, and it's an opportunity lost. And we won't know until game 82, more than likely, if it's an opportunity that costs the Jets home ice advantage or if it's an opportunity that costs the Jets the Central Division title. You know, time will tell on that front, but undoubtedly it's an opportunity lost for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. A game where you needed a better response, especially in the second and third periods. You know, you don't have anything going in the first period. You still get out of that lousy first period, you know, tied up at 0-0. You need to be able to find your game in that intermission in the second period and be able to take a win from New Jersey only playing 40 minutes. They aren't able to do that. And so ultimately, I understand where the disappointment comes for people with tonight's result.
Well, I will say, according to Dave's heavy eyes, although I got some sleep, so my eyes aren't as heavy.
I still think it's a great username, by the way.
But they said, you know, I mean, we didn't lose to a playoff team, so no need to worry, because, of course, you know, that was the big concern, was the Jets repeating all the...
How does that change the narrative if they lose poorly to a non-playoff team? I'm not sure how that
Let's be realistic. You lost to a hungry Devils team, right? This is a Devils team that was only... They haven't been playing particularly well. They're 3-7. They were coming into tonight's game. 3-7-0 in their last 10, but they were only 6 points back of Detroit. Now, I think I think Detroit won tonight, or they were winning, I should say, when I last checked. So Detroit was winning, but New Jersey knows where they are, and there's not a lot of games left.
Detroit won 6-3.
Yeah, so Detroit ended up winning. So the New Jersey needed to keep pace, to just be 6 points back down. So you just saw a New Jersey team that was determined, right? They beat Pittsburgh, who is a rival of theirs, of course, for that final wild card spot. And they were just a hungry team. And the Jets weren't crisp. You know, it just seemed like so many missed opportunities and given opportunities. Like, I you know, I'm thinking of the breakaway in the first period. Josh Morrissey just made a bad decision. And he just kind of just turned as opposed to skating with the Devils player. So you're like, what's he doing? And then next thing you know, it ends up, I think that was in the first, where it ends up as a breakaway. So there were just a couple of, I don't know, mental mistakes or miscues. Not a couple. There were more than a couple, I thought, from the team. And overall, you end up taking penalties because you're not sharp. And, you know, to quote a Drewism, your attention to detail was lacking.
Drewisms that I want to fire off tonight involve a lot of expletives and other things. So maybe don't use those Drewisms.
Well, I'm using a traditional Drewism. So traditional Drewism would suggest that the attention to detail wasn't there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a shame because of one reason specifically. Laurent Brossoit played a good game. And Laurent Brossoit, you know, would have, I think he finished with 37 saves.
Yeah.
But it's just a shame because he played a real good game. And you'd think that, you know, again, it's another wasted effort by him because the team's like I said, they just weren't good. And then we'll go through it on the Betway game recap, Drew, but there were a lot of opportunities to get pucks out and they didn't do it on the PP or PK, I should say specifically. Their PP, they had no problems getting the pucks out of the Devil's zone. They were flying, setting those pucks away. They didn't look that good on the power play, but yeah, it was just a tough day tough night, I should say, for the Jets in New Jersey. They just didn't have what it took to win a hockey game. That's what it comes down to.
That's right. They didn't execute like they needed to. And you don't need your best game to beat the New Jersey Devils. And that's just being blunt. And I apologize to any Devils fans. I'd apologize to Ginsburg, but I have a firm rule against apologizing to Ginsburg at any point in time in my life. But the Jets just didn't have a sufficient effort and a sufficient response tonight to win the game. So, I mean, New Jersey's not a very good team. I mean, they finally now, you know, a day late and more than a dollar short, have NHL caliber goaltending from Jake Allen. Now, I don't expect that that's going to be enough. And, you know, frankly, it's a fireable offense for their general manager to have gone as long as he did before rectifying the goaltending situation, because they have so much talent on that team, so much young talent, that it's inexcusable that they are 6 points out of a playoff spot. But that's what having no goaltending will do for you. But the Jets just didn't even have, I would say, even a B effort. And you know, you're still playing against an NHL team. You're still playing now. Jake Allen has been he's a veteran goaltender who's not going to win you a Stanley Cup, but he's certainly not going to lose you that many games. That's what Jake Allen is at this point in time. He's probably one of the better stopgap options for goaltending until you have a new goaltender. If you have to ride the Jake Allen wave for a couple
you mean
of years,
true. A new goaltender like Laurent Brossoit.
Well, maybe. Would that shock you if they went after Laurent Brossoit this offseason? You know, with maybe a Brossoit-Jake Allen combination. I would think that would certainly be an improvement on their goaltending situation there in New Jersey.
JC's got it right here.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. I mean, you know, exactly right. Good comment from JC there. You know, maybe put a star next to that one, Dave. We might see that comment again later on when we get to the Tough Duck hardest-hitting comment on tonight's post-game show. Whatever it is, the Jets' effort and their response tonight wasn't sufficient, and they weren't able to drag themselves into the flow of the game. And the special teams, you know, it's one thing if you give up 3 goals on the power play, you know, it's going to be hard to overcome that. And I thought the penalty kill for the Jets tonight was passive. And not to say that they have to be chickens without their heads on and that kind of aggressiveness, because that usually doesn't necessarily work either. But again, too passive, too lackadaisical, too willing to give New Jersey really whatever they wanted, and then relying on your goaltender. And you can do that for a minute of the power play. You can do that for a minute 15 of the power play. You can't do that necessarily against the talent that New Jersey's throwing out there on a power play. You know, Hischier, Jack Hughes, Luke Hughes, Timo Meier. You know, it goes on and on and on. You know, you can't do that for a full 2 minutes and expect to get away with it. And so I thought that the penalty kill approach tonight was not sufficient for what the Jets needed against, you know, whatever you say about New Jersey, a non-playoff team, but not one with a lack of talent like some of the other non-playoff teams the Jets have played recently.
Yeah, I mean, these are not the New Jersey Devils, but they're not the Anaheim Ducks.
No,
there's not talent on this team. Columbus Blue Jackets. There's way too much talent. And look, this is a team that is going to be, if they get a goaltender,
yes,
it'd be a very scary good team next season. And so they took a big step back from where they were. What were they, 55 wins last year? So that was a big step ahead. This is a big step back. And I suspect next year, if they, like I said, if they solidify their goaltending, they'll be good. But despite the fact that we like Seinfeld and David Putty, this isn't Devil's Lunch. So
why don't we get into the Betway game?
We'll focus on the Jets here on this program.
There you go. The Illegal Curve post-game show. That's what you're watching shortly before 9 p.m. Let's get to the Betway game recap.
The Betway game recap.
Big thanks to our friends at Betway for their support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. I'm sure if you're anything like me, you've had a couple of wagers going in the course of today's March Madness. No, I didn't bet on the Kentucky game. I'm not a fool.
Go Spartans.
Yeah, no. Did you bet on the Spartans, Dave?
No, I just like Michigan State.
Oh, okay. Well, Michigan State opened the tournament today, routing Mississippi State.
Tom Izzo.
You know, Izzo, you know, it's been a down year for Michigan State. Yeah, when March comes, Tom Izzo knows how to get the best out of his team. In any event, if you've made a wager today, perhaps you've done so with our friends at Betway. And if you're interested in making a wager, perhaps you should do so with our friends at Betway. With a large selection of betting options and sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds, what are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. It must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. As you mentioned off the start of this program, the first period was watching paint dry, watching grass grow, watching a pothole get filled as there was the pause in action for some ice repairs in New Jersey in that first period. It was not what you would describe as a fast period, a well-played period. Choppy and slow, like the New Jersey Turnpike, if you will, to begin tonight's game between the Jets and the Devils, Dave.
Well, I will say just quickly, I really don't want to talk about that first period. It was so boring to watch, painfully boring to watch. But I will say that Mike McIntyre had a funny comment when he talked about, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, but Mike tweeted out saying, you know, there's like a pothole sized hole in the rink, which should make everybody in Winnipeg feel like they're playing back in Winnipeg right now. So that was a good one by Mike. And that was about the only good thing about the first period, because it was not a banner period for the visitors. They were, well, I mean, actually for either team, really. I mean, I will say the Jets had, how many power plays do they have in that first period, Drew?
The Jets in that first period had two. The Devils had two power plays. Yes.
No, the Jets had two power plays, didn't they?
Yes, you're right. I read it wrong. Yeah. Yes. Curtis McDermott for tripping at the 627 mark, and then Simon Nemeth at 17:11.
Yeah. So interference on Ehlers.
Yeah, the Jets had the opportunity.
And they just weren't good. They really just weren't good on the power play. And that kind of set a tone for the game, really. Like they were flat and they just couldn't get anything going. And it is, I mean, again, the Jets won three games in a row coming into today's game, but they did beat the 29th and 30th ranked teams to start this thing off. Then, of course, you beat the third ranked Rangers, so you credit them for that. But it is hard for, and I understand why Jets fans can sit there and be a little incredulous, thinking you just watched this team play on Tuesday night and have that fantastic effort and be up for a battle against a top Rangers team, and you can say. But Scott Arneil, who's the associate coach, obviously, who's looking after the bench while Rick Bowness is back in Winnipeg. But Scott Arneil talked about it. He said, like, even when he was asked about something during one of the availabilities, he basically said, we got to be focused on the Devils. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I mean, like, the truth is, I don't know if they were, but the truth is all three of these games, right? New Jersey, New York Islanders, and Washington Capitals, you're all playing teams that are technically either outside. Well, I think Washington's now in a playoff spot, or maybe Detroit's gotten back in. I'm not super focused on the East, Drew, but the point
Detroit's now three ahead of Washington again.
Right. So you've got teams that are either just in or just outside the playoff point. There, you've got hungry teams.
Well, that's what you have. You have New Jersey tonight is a desperate hockey team. I think they're, no matter how desperate they are, I don't think they're going to be able to climb back in. But to that point about the desperation of your opponents, and you have to match their desperation or suck the life out of them nice and early by getting an early goal, for example.
That's right.
The Islanders, they're 5 points behind Detroit, and the Jets, of course, play the Islanders on Saturday afternoon. Sunday morning, really, the Jets play the Washington Capitals. The Capitals are 3 points behind Detroit. Those are two desperate hockey teams.
Right.
What do desperate hockey teams need? They need oxygen. They need life. They need a reason to believe. That's why it's incumbent on the Jets, that they didn't do tonight when they had those opportunities in that first period on the power play. So it's incumbent on the Jets on Saturday and Sunday, and we'll talk about this on Saturday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Well, you and Ezzy will. I won't be there. But, not to put words in your mouth, but the Jets have to jump on these teams nice and early on Saturday and Sunday and just don't give them the will. Don't let them think that they have a chance. Yeah. And then these teams are sort of reminded of what they are, and they tend to wilt. But that's why you got to jump on them nice and early.
Yeah, that's exactly the case. And that's what we saw them do, in their previous games against teams. Well, I mean, again, teams that are not close to the playoff line. And we know the Capitals will be without Tom Wilson, because it sounds like he's going to be gone for, you know, five plus games or six games or more after his little not so little high stick the other day. But so that they won't be facing him on, just like he was a late scratch in Winnipeg, he will not be available, I suspect, when they play the Capitals on Sunday. But staying focused on this game, I mean, you know, it's interesting, right? Like they went back, they're talk about keeping the lineup fresh. They chose not to have a morning skate today instead of practicing yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, that's an interesting decision. I guess I just don't really understand it. Maybe it's the grind of this point of the season. You know, this is game 69. So
I defer to the, you know, and
no, that's what I was going to say. So that's their choice. It's almost become a science, right? Yes. In terms of, like, you know, knowing when guys need to be on the ice, when they don't need to be on the ice. But I guess, you know, based on this performance, and tomorrow they'll practice in New York, but just based on this performance, these guys weren't crisp, and mm-hmm. and they just couldn't match New Jersey's energy. And, you know, sure, you know, you can always say, oh, well, New Jersey's a shot volume team. Well, that's well and good, but it, you know, shot volume means they possess the puck. Mm-hmm. And maybe I drew over the high danger chances overall in the end. Five on five.
I was too busy drinking and drowning my sorrows to get my full screen ahead. So high danger chances were 9-3 in New Jersey's favor at 5-on-5.
Yeah. So, I mean, again,
High danger chances at 5-on-5 for the Jets all game long.
Right. That's what I was going to say. So the Devils clearly, even though they had a high shot volume, their high danger chances weren't significant, but ultimately the Jets didn't have, weren't able to generate. And so, mm-hmm. you know, they had a lot of missed opportunities. I thought the only guy who really looked, I mean, Shively looked dangerous a couple of times. Ehlers looked dangerous, obviously, but it just didn't seem like, you know, Tyler Toffoli playing in his 800th game, the revenge game, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, Colin Miller back in the lineup. I didn't think he brought a lot to power play too. So, I mean, it's, you know, and I will credit Drew, you know, the one thing that we should mention in the first period was, even though the Jets weren't able to generate scoring, kudos to Dylan Sandberg and David Gustafson, because both made excellent plays defensively that saved pucks goals.
Off the goal line.
Yeah. So, or preventing shots from being, you know, directed towards the net, which likely would have been goals. So you have to make note of that, because, you know, Gustafson's getting more and more confidence, I would say, as he gets, you know, a consistent role in this lineup. Now, after saying that, of course, they'll pull him for Cole Perfetti, who, I mean, I don't remember last time Cole Perfetti played a game, but, you know, it's just, it's unfortunately, like I said, it was just not enough guys were pulling in the same direction. And so they made some nice plays defensively, but offensively, they just couldn't get going.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the first period ends with both teams tied at zero. The second period starts with the Devils opening the scoring at the 9-minute mark on the power play. You know, something you're going to be hearing a fair bit as we get through this game recap. Now, Jack Hughes, his 22nd of the season, assists to Nico Hischier and Luke Hughes, those Hughes brothers. There's a little bit of talent on those in those Hughes brothers, just a tad.
Just a smidge.
Yeah, they made a 1-0 on the power play goal here. This is with the Jets, and it's a double killer because it's a too many men on the ice penalty, which speaks to the Jets and their lack of sort of attention to detail and the lack of focus.
Well, in this instance, so that was Brendan Dillon got hit with a shot and he was in pain, so he couldn't get off the, you know. Right. I agree with you. Normally, you know, this one, I guess you could say for the person on the bench,
yes.
You can see that Dillon was kind of, you know, dealing with
a little more awareness, I think. And I'm not, you know, look, it's a long season. It's a grind, you know, mental mistakes happen, but it really hurts when the mental mistakes end up in the back of your net, like they did on this one.
No, for sure. And again, I'm just saying, like, because I kind of looked, I was like, why, there look like a lot of Jets on this. What is going on? And then you see Brendan Dillon come flying off and you realize it was because he had blocked the shot and he was in some pain. But yeah, I mean, it's tough because a lot of similar to the way they played in general, it was sloppy. And a lot of the penalties they took were sloppy, right? That led to goals. And, you know, when you've given up one power play goal, you're like, all right, fine. We gave up one. It is what it is.
Right.
But then you give up a second one. And again, I'm not going to jump ahead too far ahead, but I'm just saying that you have to be even more attentive to not taking penalties when your PK don't have it and their power play does.
And there's a very interesting quote coming your way after the commercial break from Brendan Dillon about the Jets penalty kill that you guys aren't going to want to, you're not going to want to go anywhere for that. Yeah. So we call that in this business, we call that a teaser.
Wow.
So it's not just necessarily a gambling term, a teaser. And it's also not the name of a, well, forget what
I knew. I was thinking, I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to work that into the joke? I'm like, you know, this is a family show. I'm not going to say it.
And I didn't. I just alluded to it. So I let everyone fill in the blank for me. I'm not the bad guy. I'm just leading them down the road. It's whether or not they decide to drink or not. That's up to them. I feel like drinking some more also, but I still, again, trying to pace myself. I haven't had anything to eat. It's now 9:08. Things are getting, I don't even know if I'm angry or sad at this point in time. What are the seven stages of grief? I think whatever stage I'm at right now, I'm not sure where I'm going to go from there. 1-0 at that point in time. The Jets tie it up before the second period is over. It's at the 16:47 mark, and it should come as no surprise that this is our Seagram shot of the game.
The Seagram shot of the game.
And this is my second Seagram shot of the game. Another bottle done. My family thinks I'm a bit of an alcoholic. I don't know where they get that idea from. Thanks to our friends at Seagram's for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Perhaps if you're like me and your favorite team, that being Kentucky for the record, loses, you feel the need to drown your sorrows in something in a way that's responsible. I'm choosing Fireball tonight. Whatever you're choosing, we hope it's a Seagram's product available at all your fine liquor marts and wherever the best liquors are served. So it's Nikolai Ehlers. And what can you say about this effort by Nikolai Ehlers, Dave, aside from
video game?
Video game. That's a good way of putting it. There's just a handful of players in this league who can do what he does. And so sometimes you got to take the good with the bad, which I think gets highlighted probably a little too much because the good is so exceptionally good that I think it overweighs the bad. And this one, it's his 21st, all at even strength. He's going to get 25 goals this year. They all might come at 5-on-5 or at least even strength, if not some of those at 4-on-4, which is incredible. Assist to Scheifele and DeMello, and it's 1-1 after 40 minutes.
Well, I mean, you know, the Jets have just given up the goal on the power play, and you're like, okay, well, I mean, it's a one goal lead. It's not super significant with the talent the Jets have on this team, but the play by Nikolai Ehlers is, you know, he's fresh. He's just off the bench, and you can just see when he gets hit that wind up. And I know that folks get excited when we talk about Brad Lambert, because I see a very similar sort of player in Lambert to Ehlers in that regard, guys who are able to kind of with speed attack the zone in that way. And I mean, I'm sorry, but he breaks the ankles, right? He's just absolutely, Smith, right? I think that he did on the, was it Smith? On the goal, Drew, at the Devil's line. I can't remember if it was Smith or not.
It was Brendan Smith. That's exactly who it was. I think that's why Brendan Smith cross-checked him in the face a little bit later in the game.
But I mean, it's, you know, like I said, you just see that like Ehlers grabs it, goes all the way back to get it, and then just boom, right around Smith, and then makes Allen look silly. And you wondered if the Jets were going to be able to kind of get going as a result of something like that, because that's a goal that should get the team pumped up. And, you know, he doesn't, unfortunately.
It should be a catalyst goal. You're exactly right. It should be a catalyst goal for the Winnipeg Jets, because you played fairly lousy in that second period. You got outshot 23-9 in that second period.
So,
Laurent Brossoit is the only reason why you have the opportunity to tie it up at one. And you go ahead and you do so, and you get out of that second period with the game tied. And so it should be a catalyst for the Jets to sort of, okay, look, we played pretty lousy in the first period. We played pretty lousy. Well, more than pretty lousy. We played lousy.
Very lousy.
In the second period, we can win this game by only playing one good period. Unfortunately for the Winnipeg Jets, they didn't even do that in period number three. And that's sort of part of the problem for this game for the Jets tonight, as the Devils, again, on the power play, their second power play.
Drew, but just quickly, and I saw our friend Dom Zappia highlight this about Ehlers, but even Ehlers himself, when Dan Robertson was asking him during the second intermission about the goal and his play, Dan Robertson, he said he criticized himself for a poor pass, which led to chance. That's not playoff hockey, not the way I want to play.
Right.
So, I mean, at least he acknowledges that he's got to be much more careful with the puck, because again, doesn't end up in the back of your net, but it's a play that kills your momentum and it gives the Devil some strength. So Ehlers being self-aware, good. He's just got to be more controlled, because you got to be careful with those. Like, you can't score a highlight reel goal and then you know, do something that ends up burning your team and putting you guys behind the eight ball. So, you know,
take the good, you take the bad, them's the facts of life. I know that Frosty Winnipeg was concerned that I was going to start breaking out in song, but maybe not just yet. We'll see. We see how the rest of this post game show goes.
Yeah. Yeah. But the point I'm making is that he was aware enough, at least, of his own mistakes. But that goal is a highlight reel goal for sure.
That it is. 1-1 after 40 minutes between the Jets and the Devils. And then here comes the third period. As I said, can the Jets play a good 20 minutes and steal a win in New Jersey? Well, the answer, of course, was no, because the penalty kill, the special teams let the Winnipeg Jets down badly in this contest. With Dylan DeMello in the box for tripping, really with only 3 seconds to go in the power play, it's Nico Hischier, his 23rd of the year, assist to Timo Meier, and again, Luke Hughes with 3 assists in the course of the night for the New Jersey Devils. It's hard to keep these Devils off the score sheet when they control the puck for as long as they did, because I think they basically had almost the entirety of this 2-minute power play with control in the Jets zone. So the Jets failed to win key faceoffs. They failed to clear the puck when given the opportunity. And it's damn hard to defend for 2 consecutive minutes, especially against a offensively skilled team like the New Jersey Devils. And with the final seconds of that penalty winding down and ticking down, and the Jets thinking they may have escaped and dodged the bullet, well, the bullet comes out of nowhere, and it's Hischier to make it 2-1 for New Jersey just before, with about 14 minutes to go in the third period.
Well, and the unfortunate part for the Jets is Sean Monahan makes a nice play, has a good stick, deflects the puck and intercepts a pass, and he goes to the wall, but the pressure along the wall forces him to cough it up. So instead of being able to really, you know, prevent this play from even happening, because he's got the puck out of the zone, the puck stays in and they keep the pressure. And then Colin Miller just doesn't have any, you know, body position on Hischier. So Hischier's behind Miller, Miller's to his side, and it's in the back of the net. And so you're like, okay, well, you know, again, these power play situations for Winnipeg or for the Devils are burning the Jets. And it's not a good situation. So I didn't even like the penalty by DeMello in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, so that goes to that whole idea, Drew, right? That these guys just weren't. I don't want to keep beating a dead horse here, but
here's an interesting tweet from our buddy Murat Atash, who covers the Jets, of course, as everyone knows, for The Athletic. New Jersey won 5 out of 6 power play faceoffs tonight and stuffed multiple Jets penalty kill clearing attempts. Winnipeg won 3 out of 8 power play faceoffs and spent more time than you'd like trying to get established on entry. Jets lost the game on special teams, giving up 3 power play goals. Look, it was a bad night for the Winnipeg Jets. It was an off night for the Winnipeg Jets, no question about it. And it was an off night almost in all facets of the game. So it was, you know, the proverbial total system failure tonight. And you see it, you know, when you're chasing, you know, if you lose a faceoff, and look, we don't need to relitigate the debate on how important faceoffs are. They're important in the micro sense. This is a key faceoff, this one. They balance out more or less over the course of an 82-game season. We don't need to talk about that anymore. It's, you know, my eyes are bleeding from that conversation. My ears are bleeding from that conversation. Also, Ebola, both of those, but, you know, separate issue entirely. But it goes to show you how the Jets just weren't on point for tonight's contest.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Drew, it's that attention to detail. It's the idea that this team just wasn't. And like I said, that's why I brought up the penalty to Dylan DeMello. And that's why I brought up just a number of, like I said, I didn't like the way Colin Miller played in front of the net. I didn't, you know, again, Sean Monahan, if you're on the PK, and I understand, like you said, it's hard. Those are hard seconds to be on the penalty kill because New Jersey's pressuring you. Mm-hmm. So it's not easy, but I just, you know, those are the plays that if you get it out, guess what? It's a 1-1 game and they don't score on the power play.
Well, and then, you know, sorry, but what I was going to say is you failed to get it out. So you've given up the power play goals. Mm-hmm. So be it. Well, what does New Jersey gift you a couple minutes later? They gift you a power play opportunity, an opportunity to tie the game.
But before that, though,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, so don't quote me. The chat can remind me or correct me. It was either after they made it 2-1 or 3-1, but New Jersey came right back and pressured the Jets and had another opportunity. And sure. And it was like, but I'm just saying that New Jersey was the one that was attacking Winnipeg.
It was fitting for the whole game.
Right. And I'm just saying that that was an indication.
Yeah.
Where was that pushback? You just got punched in the face. Mm-hmm. Are you punching back?
And tonight the Jets didn't, which is unusual for them because they have been better at punching back for the vast majority of this year. They just weren't tonight. Mm-hmm. And they fail to get penalty on their power play opportunity with Eric Hall in the box at the 7:22 mark. And so then what happens? Well, Morgan Barron takes an interference penalty, and whether or not you like this call or not, it's still a penalty. And with him in the box and the last 30 seconds of the power play for New Jersey, they capitalize. Jack Hughes, his 23rd of the year, assist to Timo Meier and Luke Hughes. And again, you give a team with this amount of offensive weapons enough opportunities, they're going to eventually make you pay for them. And that's what happened tonight. In this instance, the third of the three power play goals that New Jersey scores, this one coming with about 8 minutes to go in the game. And the Jets had no response to that. They weren't able to muster anything even after pulling the goalie with, I think, about 3.5 minutes to go in this game is when they pulled Laurent Brossoit. And there was no response even when they had the extra man on the ice at 6-on-5, Dave.
No, but I mean, like, again, what does it come down to? Opportunity to get pucks out of the zone, and they don't. And Dylan Sandberg, who I thought had a good game for Winnipeg, you know, he's got that puck on his stick, and it pops it over to the wall. And instead of, like, you know, a good clear, and I understand, like, it happens, right? But, like, he just ineffectively puts it to the wall as opposed to, like I said, slamming it out of the Jets' end. And then Vlad Nemestikov, you know, mm-hmm. can't win a battle. And can't win, or not really a battle, but can't really just chip that puck out.
Yeah.
So then the Devils keep pressuring. And then eventually it ends up in the back of your net. So, I mean, like, in addition to the, like, and you could, and folks can complain about the Morgan penalty and say that Morgan Barron penalty.
Close enough. I knew what you meant.
Yeah. But like I said, it's just another instance where the Jets have opportunity to clear a puck. They don't clear the puck. And it's no surprise the Devils make them pay. So it's another, I guess, you know, that idea of being crisp, and they weren't crisp, and they get burnt by it. So they're down 3-1, and really at 3-1 at that point, you could say that there was an opportunity to pull the goaltender and see what they could do.
Right,
and they did.
I like them doing. I like Scott Arneil doing that when he did. But sure. What you don't like is that there was no response from the Jets. That they just, again, they, even with the extra man, they couldn't establish anything. They couldn't find their skating legs. They couldn't control the puck. There was just no continuity or flow to their game tonight. So, I mean, in some regards, I guess if it's a total system failure, you don't necessarily mind that because everybody sucked, Laurent Brossoit excluded. So that you can sort of say, look, everybody needs to recalibrate themselves and get their focus back for Saturday in New York against the Islanders for another desperate team that you're facing.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you can do. They're gonna have to have a practice tomorrow and get on the ice, and we'll see. I mean, we'll see what this team can do. I mean, you know, you'd think that Nate Schmidt or Logan Stanley are probably going to get back in the lineup. Like, with all due respect to Colin Miller, I didn't see anything that was saying he deserves to be in over, you know, we're hearing about the shot on the power play. I haven't seen it yet. And so, and again, I'm not blaming this loss on Colin Miller because it certainly wasn't on him, but I just think, like, the Jets just need to have a good skate tomorrow and figure some things out because, you know, again, folks are rightly concerned in the idea of consistency, because that's what you want to see. You want to see a consistent effort from a team. You don't want to see you can't say, well, of course they got up for that game against the New York Rangers because that was a battle for first, you know, between first place teams, and it's hard to get excited for the Devils. Well, you know, I mean, the reality is it's not really that hard to get excited for the Devils, because if you beat the Devils tonight, you have 2 points on the Avalanche, who, by the way, have won 7 games in a row, and the Stars. And so there's an opportunity. And don't get me wrong, Nashville is not a team that I would say you look at and think you want to play. I think it's like 15 games now they've got with a point. So Nashville's a hell of a good team. But you'd rather see Dallas and Colorado beat the crap out of each other and face LA, which would be hilarious, or Nashville or whomever. Then
Vegas is still not going anywhere, and St. Louis somehow. I mean, Vegas has got two games in hand, but St. Louis is only 2 points back of them now. I mean, Vegas is doing everything in their power to let Minnesota and St. Louis have a sniff of this final playoff spot in the West. But you're right. I mean, look, it's an opportunity loss, as we said at the beginning of the post game show. It was an opportunity, for you to maybe get not a large amount of breathing room. But remember, you have the tiebreaker against Dallas, and you have the tiebreaker against Colorado. So this would have just given you a little bit of a small amount of breathing room, maybe a little bit of a deeper breath.
Of course. Still, there's still like what? Wait, hold on. There's still 13 games left
there's
after
still
tonight.
13 games. Yeah, there's lots of hockey to be played. So plenty of time and everything else. And it's not a catastrophe, and it's not the sky is falling. And I understand how fans take that tact, because fan and fanatic is very the root of one is within the other. But it's a missed opportunity tonight for the Winnipeg Jets, and they will rue that missed opportunity. And time will tell how significant the defeat is tonight against the New Jersey Devils. So the Devils win 4-1 over the Jets. We come back on the Illegal Curve post game show. I'm going to tell you about that Brendan Dillon quote, because it was hot and spicy. And I'm not just talking about the latest offering from your local fast food restaurant. But whatever it was, don't go anywhere. Dave's going to give us a quick Minook Moose Minute about what happened last night for the Moose and the Grand Rapids Griffins. Tough Duck, hardest hitting comment. And we'll see if I continue drinking or not. I'm still hungry. I'm still upset, but you're all here and you're making me feel a little bit better, so I thank you for that. Don't go anywhere. It's the Illegal Curve post-game show. It rolls on.
BP's new New York Sicilian square footers. With a thicker crust than ever before, they're light and airy on the inside and oh so crispy on the outside. You're going to have your work cut out for you.
Okay, fine.
Try the New York Sicilian square footers, only at Boston Pizza.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life?
Like finding out your favorite snack has zero calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
The Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking, and to sweeten the deal even more,
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni!
Tell me about it. Just download Grid Park, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
The game can change.
Ah!
Just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to RumorsComedyClub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the illegal curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Bottom of the hour. It's 9:30, just about. I don't know what I'm going to eat. I'm really thinking about that a lot. Any suggestions, Dave? I'm really concerned about that right now. I mean, I try not to. You know, I'm not as young as I once was. You know,
I'd go for a bowl of cereal, to be honest with you.
Honestly, that's sort of where I'm leaning. You know, I'm not in my, you know, now that I'm in my 60s, I don't have the metabolism I had when I was younger where I could, you know, order something, you know, really bad for me and you know, eat that and then not have it affect me the next day. But again, getting up there in age, the arthritis is kicking in, things of that nature. So I want probably a bowl of cereal. I think that seems like a reasonable course of action. Thank you.
Sugar cereal or
no,
non-sugar?
No. I cannot do. I don't have any sugary cereals in the house. Like, we don't give the kids sugary cereals or anything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's gonna. My options, I believe, are Shreddies or multigrain Cheerios. That's usually where.
Okay.
That's what the kids are eating on a regular basis.
Yeah, I got Shreddies. I got Shreddies downstairs.
There you go.
And I've got some shredded wheat.
Yeah, shredded
which is like, wheat. Which is like, no, but the big shredded wheat. Like, so it's like eating hay.
Oh, well, that's good. You're grazing a little bit. That's you know, perfectly reasonable. Mm-hmm. I might have it with a giant, I might not use milk. I might just use the Fireball, but that's almost it's almost the same thing, right? That's healthy. That's good for you. Anyways, welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show, everybody. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk with you. Reminder, busy weekend ahead. Saturday morning, 9 a.m., the Illegal Curve hockey show. We'll talk about the Jets, of course. We'll get you set for the Jets and the Islanders and the Jets and the Capitals because it's a back-to-back Saturday, Sunday. And then post-game show Saturday afternoon, post-game show Sunday afternoon. So a big, busy, illegal curve-filled weekend for all y'all here on the YouTube channel, which reminds me to remind you that if you haven't already done so, smash the like button, subscribe to the channel, tell your friends, tell your family the best place to be after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. And again, on Saturday mornings, is here on the fine old Illegal Curve YouTube channel. I promised you a fired up quote from Brendan Dillon.
Yes.
Put the kiddies to bed because I'm not going to censor it. Boom. That's how we're angry everybody is.
But you were, Drew, you might be angry, but you were kind enough to give a disclaimer.
That's right. I don't, you know, for those of you listening afterwards, I know a lot of you, I was talking to some people who listen with their kids, you know, maybe ear muffet, if you want to use the old school reference, ear muffet, then you can say whatever you want, as Vince Vaughn taught us in that famous scene.
But, although I'm wearing earbuds, so that's not going to help me, but go on.
Okay, there you nonetheless, to give up three fucking power play goals is absolutely unacceptable. We lost the game because of special teams. So I'm going to go wash my mouth out with soap while Dave reflects upon the words that Brendan Dillon just uttered.
I mean, who can argue with him? He's not wrong. I mean, the reason they lost this game was because of special teams. So, I mean, he could have not included the pejorative, but he did. And that's fine. That's his prerogative, Drew. And ultimately, I mean, who disagrees with them? I mean, the difference was they lost 3-1 and they or 4-1, but they gave up three power play goals. So the power play has to be better. And we've been talking about the PK anyways, but it's just who's out that's, you know, part of their PK unit that's not available.
It was just a bad performance by the PK tonight.
That's right. And so, as Leslie's saying in the chat, that's a truth bomb. There's nothing. Look, I'd rather him say that than try and convince you that, you know, things were well and they controlled the play. And like, again, this audience and the fan base in general know what they saw. I mean, you're not going to convince them. It's like, what are my lying eyes telling me? You know, do they deceive me? This is, it's, you saw the game. Everybody watched the game. So, I mean, sure, the special teams cost them. I mean, I'd say the rest of the game cost them as well. Yeah. But ultimately, it was the special teams that you know, that three goals, 3-1, there, you know the answer. So he's absolutely correct. And so it's so you like to hear it, at least, that he's honest. And, you know, hopefully, I guess if you're a Jets fan, you're hopeful that this lights a fire a bit under the team and they come out snarly on Saturday.
That's because right.
That's what they need to do.
Channel the negative. You have to channel the anger and because, unleash on the Islanders.
Well, at the end of the day, you still are battling for first. You won three games in a row prior to tonight, and you had a very good game against a very good Rangers team. So it's not all is lost. It's not like you needed these 2 points to make the playoffs.
No,
but you should be pissed off because you didn't play well. And like we said, that's what you want to see. It's all about response. So if you come out and have like a ho-hum first period, you know, it's not acceptable. You need to play a certain style. And that's what I think, again, that's what it comes down to with what folks are saying in terms of playoff hockey and what the Jets need to do to bring that sort of playoff mentality. And it's hard. It's hard on a team to constantly be, you know, to bring that all the way to the playoffs and then to play all those games in the playoffs. We see how many teams burn out, fizzle out because they've tried to bring a level of intensity throughout the course of the season. And I think Drew, you put it either in the chat about, you know, this being a marathon, not a sprint, and, or maybe it was a tweet, I don't know, but the point is you put that out there and it's not something that I think is incorrect. So, but you know, this league is all about what have you done for me lately? Right. So the 3-game win streak, that's done with. Now you have a loss and you're not happy about with your special teams. So you practice that tomorrow and then you have a good response on Saturday and Sunday in New York and Washington.
There you go. Good motivational speech from Coach Manouk right there. The Manitoba Moose had been on a heater and then they faced the Grand Rapids Griffins yesterday. Dave M with an abbreviated version of the Manouk Moose Minute. Maybe we're going to keep him to we'll keep him to 2 minutes instead of just one or the usual 5 minutes. Let's get to it.
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Manouk Moose Minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Well, that 4-1 score, Drew, is going to sound familiar to folks who were watching the Moose game yesterday because that is the score that they lost in their rematch with the Grand Rapids Griffins after defeating them 5-1 on Tuesday morning. They got out to, they had a good start actually to the game. Thomas Milic got the start. That was his, I think, fourth or fifth straight game starting. Moose had won 4 games coming into that one. And like I said, we're 9-1-0 in their last 10 with a chance to defeat Grand Rapids, the second place team in the Central, and put some more distance between themselves and Chicago. The Moose, like I said, had a good start, but unfortunately for them, it was the Griffins who struck first. Nice little pick play, actually, if you're talking about March Madness, Drew, and the preventing Christian Reich from getting to the wall.
No, as far as I'm concerned, March Madness never happened. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's over. Fair enough.
I'm now in the denial stage. I'm now into denial in the stages of anger.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, well then,
mourning, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, stages of grief, whatever it is. But anyway. Yeah, but anyway, so Zach Aston-Reese, great name. He scores to beat Milic 1-0 for the Griffins. Jets fans would be happy to know that Nikita Chibrikov, who almost lost his leg on a little, I wouldn't call it a knee-on-knee, but it was like a side-glancing one. Chibrikov always ends up looking like he's...
side-glancing one with a chainsaw? What the hell happened that he almost lost his leg?
I'm just saying, cutting through the neutral zone, had a little collision, and he always looks like he's getting obliterated. And but amazingly, he looks like it, and then he stays on the bench, and he somehow always end on the power play, Drew. So he was fine, and Thomas Milic made a couple of real nice saves, but unfortunately for the Moose, similar to the Jets, they weren't able to capitalize on power plays. They had three power plays in the first period, couldn't score on an early second period power play, and unfortunately, when they didn't clear the puck, they found themselves down 2-0. Mm-hmm. So things were looking tough, but again, like I said, Thomas Milic made a bunch of big saves, and the Moose did get within one on a delayed penalty call. Brad Lambert curled and fired a shot that hit Jeff Malott in front, so that brought the Moose within one. That was Malott's 19th goal of the year, and if you're keeping track at home, Lambert is up to 47 points, 19 goals, 28 assists in 53 games, which is the 2022 first rounder to 6th all-time on the Moose rookie points list. He's now chasing Jack Rozovic as the next high draft Jets draft pick, who had 48. The Moose thought they had tied the game, Drew. Jeffrey Viel banged home a loose puck, but the ref said no dice because he had blown the whistle. And then the Griffins scored to regain their lead to make it a 3-1 lead. And then I tweeted this out, but Brad Lambert will score a lot of highlight reel or set up a lot of goals with highlight reel passes with the net empty. And similar to the Jets, the Moose aggressively pulled their goaltender, Thomas Milich, with I think about 3.5 minutes to go. But with the net empty, Brad Lambert was a little casual after Villahinola dropped in the puck. And he was trying to get it to Dawson Bartow, doesn't do so. And it hits the Jet Moose net, goes right in front, and they give up a goal. So it's a 4-1 win for the Grand Rapids Griffins to end that series. The Moose did get lucky, though, because Chicago, who were ahead of Rockford 3-2 late in the third, gave up a game-tying goal and then the OT winner. So the Ice Hogs ended up coming back and winning. And so, therefore, Chicago only gained a single point on Manitoba. So the Moose maintained a 7-point lead now on Chicago, who have a game in hand, and they failed to gain ground on Texas, which is unfortunate for Manitoba. And if speaking of the Moose, we gave away our tickets for this week, but of course, Drew talked about it. It's going to be a big conflict for me. I'm going to be trying to figure out how I'm going to make it all work because, unfortunately, and I mentioned this to the Moose staff, I said, you know, people, what are we doing here?
They moved up the game. Games at the same time.
The game was supposed to be originally a 2:00 start on Sunday, and they moved it up to 12. So unfortunately for me, the Moose and Jets game will be too much of a conflict, I suspect, on Sunday. Saturday,
The Moose game's at 12. That's a weird start time for
why? Because I guess Abbotsford probably wants to get home quick. So they're playing the Abbotsford Canucks this weekend. So we will have tickets to play Abbotsford and Toronto in the next four games. We'll have tickets to all four of those games. So if you want to go to the game, what's today? Today, Thursday?
Thursday. Yeah. Thursday.
Yeah. So if you want to go to the game on Saturday, that's the game's 2:00 start time. So I'll be there. I'll be doing the post game show with Ezzy. Ezzy will be probably at my house and I will be at Canada Life, probably doing the post game show from there. So join, if you want to go to the game, dave@illegalcurve.com, send me an email or slide into my DMs. I see Dave. And let me know you want to go, and we'll get you tickets to the IC zone, into the IC zone, and you can watch the game yourself.
There you go. Dave M. with the Minook Moose Minute, as only he can do. We wrap up tonight's post-game show with the Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment.
The Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment.
Now, I don't know if it's just because his name matches my mood, but I'm going to give it to Oscar, presumably the Grouch, Oscar Grouch. Judging by the chat, we get 2 points when we win and lose 20 points in our we will not win all the games. So for all those saying the sky is falling, Oscar the Grouch is here to say, "Tis not, calm down, better days are ahead," which albeit is a bit of an interesting tactic for a Grouch to be taking. Down is up. Who the hell knows what's going on anymore? Oscar Grouch, send me an email, drew@illegalcurve.com, or slide into my DMs @ICDrew, and we'll hook you up with a toque courtesy of our friends at Tough Duck. That, of course, is the namesake sponsor of the Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment. Want to let everybody know the following. I don't know the date yet, of course, but we will be live at Boston Pizza on Taylor Avenue for the Jets' first road playoff game. I don't know when it's going to be. I'm not Nostradamus. I don't know what the fortune-telling schedule is going to be. I don't know if it's going to be game one of a playoff series or if it's going to be game three of a playoff series. But whenever the first road game of the playoffs is for the Winnipeg Jets, we are going to be live at Boston Pizza, Taylor Avenue. We're going to do a live watch party. We're going to do the live post-game show. So stay tuned for more information along those lines. But be sure to join us for whatever game number of the series it is. Road game number one, live at Boston Pizza on Taylor Avenue. We will be there for an Illegal Curve watch party and a live post-game show, live on location post-game show. So we're looking forward to that, of course.
Yeah, and just quickly, Drew, the Illegal Curve gear, if you want to buy IC merch, the store closes at the end of March. So you've got
9 days.
9 or 10 days, whatever it is, to get your orders in. The link is on illegalcurve.com. You can find it there. Maybe I'll put it in the chat right now. So you can, by the way, Oscar said, "How can I be grouchy with a new toque?" Thanks, guys. Congratulations, Oscar. But if you want IC gear, you want to look like IC Ezzy G or Drew or myself, then head on down, purchase. I'm going to put that link right now. Again, it's under on the website under merch, no surprise. And I will include the link right now in the chat. So if you want to buy something, like I said, 10 days to go before that opportunity closes, and then we'll start producing the gear. But give it a shot if you want to wear an IC hat. And I was reliably informed, actually, by someone. Hold on. Actually, I know Dallas said he was going to be buying some IC gear. But I did have someone DM me saying, hold on, you'll like this one, Drew.
I'm excited.
I have a coworker in our shop rocking a blue IC hoodie. When I asked him where he got it, he responded, I have no idea. I give a lot of people rides and stuff gets left behind.
Excellent. That's the kind of fandom I like to hear about. Did he even know what he was wearing?
So my response was, that's a bit unusual, huh? Yeah. But I immediately thought, did I lose one? Which I did not.
I give a lot of people rides and they leave a lot of stuff behind. But is he an Uber driver in his spare time? I don't know more now.
He wrote back, for what it's worth, I told him it's a great show and a great follow on X. I know on game days, if I want to know about any roster moves or line changes, your accounts are the place to go. See, there you go. So thank you very much for that info. But so we don't advocate that you get the gear by taking somebody else's forgotten IC gear. If you want your own,
buy some
like that. You can just get it.
There you go. That's great. That's a great little anecdote that puts a smile on my miserable face on this Thursday night. We thank all of you for joining us. We thank our sponsors. That's our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Tony Woods is in town Friday and Saturday. You might know Tony better as Dave Chappelle's mentor. So if you want to see one of the comedians who's been an inspiration for Dave Chappelle, Tony Woods is at Rumors this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Grid Park, use code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free. Our friends at Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer Farmery Beer, and of course, also the Rady JCC Sports Dinner. Come here from Doug Gilmore, Grant Fuhr, and Wendell Clark, May 28th, 2024. That's RadyJCC.com. You can sit at the Illegal Curve table when you buy your ticket. Be sure to mention that. It's a great night out. We look forward to seeing everybody there. We look forward to seeing everybody again Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon, and then Sunday afternoon as well. Very busy weekend upcoming here on the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button, subscribe to the channel, subscribe to the podcast, leave us feedback, tell your friends, tell your family that the best place to be is, of course, the Illegal Curve YouTube channel and IllegalCurve.com. Merch, that's still open. That's what Dave's pointing to as well. For Dave Manuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for being sympathetic to me, folks. I appreciate the love. And I
go Wildcats.
Yeah, you know, go whatever random team you want to cheer for now.
Michigan State, Drew. Come on, get on board.
Let's go, Michigan State. Why the hell not? For Dave, I'm Drew. Until Saturday morning, we wish you good night and good luck. And thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, IllegalCurve.com.